Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Call Kathleen Muck at 901-684-1010. My safe haven, your wise choice. The Crescent Club, where you belong.
Baseball's back, and it's game on with Radio.com. Bringing you the best coverage of this historic 60-game MLB season. Follow your favorite clubs on the country's best sports stations. Every day, they'll break down the news with in-depth game analysis and exclusive player interviews. For a unique perspective on the MLB season and all sports, listen to Radio.com Sports Originals, like Swings and Misses. The best in sports talk is right at your fingertips. It's game on. Follow Major League Baseball on Radio.com and the Radio.com app.
As you get back to business, small things can make a big difference. Like marking safe distances with floor tape and posting reminders to wash hands. As always, Grainger is here to help. Offering supplies and solutions for every industry. Free access to product specialists, 24/7 support, safety recovery guides, and more. It's part of our commitment to help you adapt and recover in these challenging times. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is you waiting for dinner on an ordinary vacation.
It's a 2-hour wait for a table.
This is you waiting for dinner on a real vacation. Go on a real vacation. Go RV. Take the wheel at your nearest RV dealer or at GoRVing.com.
Let's be real. Mopping is a hassle. You have to fill the bucket, pushing a wet, heavy mop around, then cleaning the mop when you're done so it doesn't grow bacteria. A hassle on top of a hassle. Try Swiffer WetJet. With Swiffer WetJet, you start with a fresh pad and cleaning solution every time. And when you're done, you just toss the pad. Swiffer WetJet, the faster, easier, cleaner way to clean your floors.
For muscle pain, body aches, to strains, Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis. It works fast and you won't stink. Its unique formula with emu oil penetrates deep to relieve arthritis pain, sore muscles, joints, and more.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
I'm here. My name's Gary Parish. I'm speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Bennett Doyle is producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day as best you can.
Well, Daddy lost most everything on horse, whiskey, and wedding.
And I hope if you're a Titans fan, you weren't expecting to live a stress-free life last night, because 1-0 is 1-0, but Bennett, it's a hard way to get to 1-0.
It was, but I'm used to it.
That was a hard way to get to 1-0, and the primary reason, obviously, was our old pal, fellow University of Memphis graduate, Stephen Gostkowski. We'll talk about it. All those missed kicks momentarily. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 4:25, Keith Smith's going to join me. He's a longtime NBA columnist who has written for a variety of publications, including Yahoo Sports. He's going to join me in the next segment. We'll discuss Game 7 Nuggets Clippers, Game 1 Celtics Heat. Plus, what's next for Billy Donovan? I'll ask Keith Smith. He's going to join me right around 4:25. When I finish that, I'm going to take a break, come back, do four notable stories at 4:44, at which point I will discuss four previously undiscussed stories. Among them, a Chicago radio host is under fire for making a sexist comment about ESPN's Mariah Taylor on Twitter last night. I'll tell you what that dummy said and how Maria responded. We're going to do it around 4:44. It's starting to look like being a recruiting analyst is a great trampoline job to bigger things, because another recruiting analyst is off to bigger and better things. I'll tell you about Corey Evans' new job a little later on this hour. Arkansas State has a COVID-19 outbreak that has caused the postponement of a game. So the Memphis Tigers and the Arkansas State Red Wolves, they played 10 days ago, and now both programs have had to postpone games. I'm not sure it's all connected, but it's obviously not great. Give you the details on that just before 5 o'clock. And the city of Louisville is reportedly giving $12 million to the family of Breonna Taylor to settle a lawsuit. That's a good first step. Now we get to see if the next step happens, whether any of the officers will be charged in her death. I'll get you updated on that story during four notable stories, 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins, just like always. Then I'll eventually do dinner to go and get out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I want to start with the NFL, specifically the second game of yesterday's Monday Night Football doubleheader. Final score, Titans 16, Broncos 14. So Bennett's Titans are 1-0, but, man, took a stressful approach to get there. Bennett, I know how frustrating it was to have Titans minus 3 and watch that game.
It was.
How frustrating was it to care about the Titans with your heart and watch that game?
Well, GP, this is, if you've watched the Titans over the past couple of years, this is how they win games. So I knew that it was going to be, I'm always hoping for a blowout and whatever, but that never, ever happens for me. So I expected it, and they got the win, so I'm good with it. A win is a win in the NFL, in my opinion.
Do you feel like crap because you won that way, or can you find something positive, like, my team won despite all of that nonsense, leaving 10 kick points on the board.
And not only that, like, our best linebacker throws a punch at the beginning of the game, gets ejected. Like, it's, I mean, it was just teetering on disaster that whole entire first half of the game. The Broncos, like, dropped passes. I mean, there was so much went right for the Titans. I was just so happy to, like, escape with a win, honestly.
So the centerpiece of all of this is probably not what we anticipated, say, this time yesterday, and it was Stephen Gostkowski, the 36-year-old former Memphis kicker, 3-time Super Bowl champion.
Yes.
4-time Pro Bowler.
Future Hall of Famer.
I think probably a future Hall of Famer.
Top 10 kicker of all time.
This is his 15th season in the NFL. The first 14, obviously, with New England. This is his first season with the Titans. Last night was his first game with the Titans. He attempted 4 field goals.
Uh-huh.
One was blocked, and he missed 2 others from 47 yards and from 42 yards. He missed an extra point, too. And so he becomes just the second kicker in the past 10 seasons to miss 4 kicks in a win. The other one is Cody Parkey. And so this is pretty unusual place to be if you're a kicker. And he's never missed 3 field goals in a game. Last night was the first time in 15 seasons as a professional kicker that he's missed 3 field goals in a game. And it's probably, I was thinking about this earlier, probably the first time he's ever done it. Unless
he
did it in high school. I know he didn't do it in Memphis.
No.
You do that kind of thing at Memphis, you don't get to play for the Patriots.
Right.
So it was a bad, bad night. And then, of course, it ends well because he's got an opportunity to win the game with 17 seconds left. It's 25-yarder. It's a chip shot. But when you've already missed 3 kicks, had one blocked and you've missed 2, I don't guess anything comes easy. I can't imagine what your nerves are like, even as a 36-year-old veteran in that spot, because even after the game, Stephen, I thought, spoke pretty candidly. He said, quote, "You don't always get that lucky to get a chance to redeem yourself, but I'm just happy that the guys got to celebrate. I'm disappointed in myself and embarrassed and frustrated, but at the end of the day, we won, and luckily, guys are happy going home." So even in you know, while celebrating a game-winning kick and being appreciative that he got the opportunity, he described himself as embarrassed and frustrated. And so he makes that 25-yarder, obviously. And in his career now, he's 11 of 12. 11 of 12 on lead-changing field goals in the final 2 minutes of regulation or in overtime. So he has been excellent throughout his career in that spot, but he was not excellent last night until he got to that spot. And I really do think that that's got to be the loneliest job in sports, a struggling kicker. Is there anything worse in sports than being a struggling kicker?
Probably not. I was thinking a struggling pitcher, but like probably
if you're a struggling closer would be
a struggling closer would for
be
sure
because it's like the only not the only time, but the overwhelming majority of times you come in the game, your team has a lead, and it's your job to hold that lead, and you are expected to do it.
Yeah,
and when you don't do it, you failed, and unless it's the byproduct of errors or pass balls, it's on you.
Mm-hmm.
That's a rough place. I mean, I'm a guy who's been watching Edwin Diaz pitch for the past 2 years.
Right.
And I can't imagine how lonely that must feel. Your team has played usually 8 innings. And after 8 innings, they have a lead. Now it's your job to just hold on to this lead. You don't have to go erase somebody else's lead. You don't have to do anything other than just hold on to this lead that we gave you. Hey, we've all been playing for 8 innings. Now we're going to bring you into the game to join us, and it's your job to hold on to this lead. And when you don't get that job done, it must feel awful.
Yeah.
And when you don't get that job done again and again and again and again, and you keep running out there, like eventually you lose your job. Like Edwin Diaz only closes games now because the Mets had to take their new closer, Seth Lugo, and make him a starter. That's what kind of shape they're in. Like they had to take a closer and make him a starter because they've got no pitchers outside of DeGrom. But eventually, you'll lose that job, but like the process of losing that job must just be ugh. On the other hand, you are still throwing to professional hitters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's still guys who make millions of dollars, like, trying to do their job. So, you are working against something real. But when you're a field goal kicker, I mean, unless the snap's bad, and they almost never are. And unless the line just collapses, doesn't do its job, which is just almost never the case, you're expected to get the kickoff and it's supposed to go through. And when you consistently don't do that, it must be frustrating and embarrassing because your teammates already don't think of you as a football player. You're a kicker.
Right.
You're on our football team, but you're a kicker. You don't look like us. You don't run like us. You don't lift weights like us. You can't move like us. You're the kicker. You're part of our team, but you're the kicker. And I can't imagine there's a more stressful job than a job you're expected to do the right way every time, basically without exception. Now, they trot you out there 62 yards into the wind, you know, then whatever. But, you know, anything inside 50, if you're an NFL kicker, you're supposed to make.
Yep.
And when you miss two and have another one blocked, woo, I can't imagine what that feels like. I think that's the toughest job in sports.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I wouldn't want that job.
I mean, it pays handsomely, seems like.
Yeah, I've told this story before. I was a soccer player growing up, and when I got to high school, I was at least loosely approached about, hey, do you want to kick footballs? And I could have done it. Like, I kicked, I'd go out every once in a while just and kick, you know, I could kick field goals. I could do that job.
Yeah.
I could have been the field goal kicker for my high school team probably as a freshman.
You didn't want to do it.
No chance. No chance. Like, what is the – to me, it's one of those jobs where whatever good comes of it doesn't outweigh the possible bad. Like, when you – to me, this is a bad – like, okay, think of it as you're a shortstop. You come up, bottom of the ninth, second, third, two outs, you're at the plate. If you do your job well, it's like, woo-hoo, you're the hero. If you'd fail, well, then, you know, most baseball players fail in that spot anyway. The stakes don't feel nearly as high, even if the outcome is exactly the same.
Right.
If you're a kicker, you come in. Let's just look at what Steven was last night. 17 seconds down one, right? That's what it was. 17 seconds down one. If you make this kick, you're not the hero. You're just the guy who, like, it's a 25-yarder. Go make the kick.
Right.
if you miss the kick, you're a bum. Like, I either want to be the hero or the bum. I don't want to be the, okay, well, of course you did what you were supposed to do, or the bum. That just doesn't, the good doesn't seem to balance with the bad. The other thing I was thinking about that could, like, really be a lonely and painful job in professional sports is if you're a golfer just missing putts. But when you're doing that, you're really not letting anybody down other than yourself.
Letting yourself down.
You're just letting yourself down and costing yourself places on a leaderboard and costing yourself by extension money, costing yourself opportunities. It's frustrating. I can say this as someone who golfs poorly. You know, you hit a nice drive, you hit a nice approach, and then you three putt from 12 feet. Like, that drives you crazy. But unless you're in some sort of team competition, you're only letting yourself down. When you're a field goal kicker and you're not making field goals, you are letting an entire team down, coaching staff down. Not to mention all these people, for the most part, are bigger and stronger and tougher than you. Like, they can beat you up if they want to. Mm-hmm. I know they won't, but, like, being the least football-playing player-looking person on the roster and then letting down the entire football team just must be the absolute worst. And that's what it looked like Gostkowski was doing last night for all of about everything except for the last 17 seconds of that game. So he makes one, and by all accounts, he's going to keep his job. Is that the impression you get?
Yeah, I mean, Mike Vrabel talked today, and I mean, he was just like, yeah, you know, he said basically the way that he was talking made it seem like they're not going to do anything right now.
Right. And like, tell me if I – because I've heard Vrabel talk about Gostkowski a couple of times.
Yeah.
Like when they first signed him, I think. Yeah. And then again –
well, they're obviously buddies because they played together.
But like Vrabel –
well, I don't know if they did. Vinatieri might have been there.
No, I think they did play
together.
They
may have for a second.
I think
yeah.
they did play together.
Yeah.
But he talks about it like he doesn't – he sort of acknowledges, I don't know. Like, you know, like he sort of – when talking about – like, so Gostkowski misses two field goals last night and then had another one blocked and missed an extra point – and he's like,
yeah.
He seems to acknowledge up front, I don't know anything about kicking.
Mina Kive said something today on Twitter basically saying Mike Vrabel seems like the kind of guy that really, really wishes kicking had nothing to do with the game of football.
Yeah, I've never heard a coach talk about it that way.
Yeah, like he's like, I don't have anything to do with that.
He's like, that's not my job. I don't know anything about it. I don't know why somebody's good and why somebody's bad.
Right.
You know,
that's accurate.
It's just that I never heard a coach talk about it that way. Like, it's not even a part. Like, you could ask Mike Vrabel about any other aspect of his football team, and he would talk about it, hopefully, intelligently.
Mm-hmm.
And you ask him about kicking, he's like, I don't really know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, hopefully he'll make them.
Yeah, hopefully he'll make them. Like, we got some people on staff who, like, you know, they'll figure it out, I hope. But, like, I don't. You're asking the wrong guy. It's almost like you're asking the wrong guy.
I will say, just to get it out here, I do hope he keeps his job, at least for the next game, because they won and it was the first game. You didn't lose a lot. Like nothing happened. So I say you give the guy another shot, just because if he comes out and is awesome against the Jaguars, that team, we have struggled so bad with kicking. I think they've had four kickers in the past two seasons. You need some consistency there.
They are, is this right, 1-for-9?
Oh, dude, they were
in their last.
Yeah, they were the worst.
9 field goal attempts.
They were the worst in the league last year.
Oh, like the worst by far.
Yeah, they were the worst in the
league. They only made last season, the Titans, 44.4%.
Just going through them
of their field goal attempts, and it was the only time since the 2001 season that a team made fewer than 60% of their field goal attempts. So it's not like they were just last. They were last by like 20 percentage points.
And a team like the Titans, where, again, it's going to be bend, don't break defense, run the football, low scoring. The kicking game is so important to a team like that.
Right, because you're not, probably not, you know, throwing 40-yard touchdown passes.
No.
That's not the way you're going to score.
Nope.
And you're going to get held up in the red zone, and then you got to get those 3 points.
Yes.
I mean, they left, just in kicks, they left 10 points on the board.
Right. Like should have been an easy win.
Yeah, and then it clearly didn't cost you last night. But the reason I thought this was interesting, again, Gostkowski is now, along with Cody Parkey, the only kickers in the past 10 years to miss 4 kicks in a win. That's because when your kicker misses 4 kicks, you don't win.
No.
That's why it's so rare.
What happened last night was like impossible.
He's not the first kicker to miss four kicks since in the past 10 seasons. The first one to miss four kicks and his team still wins, along with Cody Parkey. And that's because when your kicker misses four kicks, you don't win the game.
Yeah, and I also think, too, that probably comes down to the coach won't let him kick at the end, and then it's unlikely that you, like, convert fourth downs when you're in the red zone,
Did you want them last night? Because I'm going to be honest, I fell asleep. Yep. I saw all of this morning when I woke up. Did you want them in real time to keep going for the end zone or just, like, line it up,
no,
settle for the field goal?
No, 100% field goal. When A.J. Brown dropped the pass in the end zone on third down.
No, I don't mean on fourth down, go for it. I mean, like, some coaches, they get into field goal range and they're like, all right, let's just get it centered up and now let's go kick it. But they were still trying to score a touchdown.
Yeah, they were. And I think that was the right move. And they were trying to run that clock down a little bit. But I do think that was the right move because of how much of a disaster that it was. But then when you get there and it's time and it's fourth down, like 17 seconds left or whatever it was, like, you got to do it.
Yeah, then you kick it and you hope it goes well. And it did go well. So yeah. I was glad to hear Vrabel today strongly suggests that Steven Gostkowski is going to remain their kicker. I mean, like, what are their options? But he won't survive another week like that.
No, he won't.
You can't do that 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, and it's crazy. I actually saw – so kicking in the NFL yesterday, I've got this right here in front of me. It was so yesterday, 19 missed field goals in week one were the most in the NFL since kickers missed 20 in the opening week in 1982. So it's – kicking's bad in the NFL right now. I saw that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they held on to their backup on the they signed him to a deal on the practice squad so teams wouldn't try to come and get him.
There you go.
That's how bad kicking is right now.
Yeah. That's just, I don't know, again, just to circle back to my initial point, I don't know that there is a lonelier job in professional sports than being a struggling kicker. It just seems like the absolute worst thing you could be.
It does.
And Steven Gostkowski was that.
Oh, I was sick for him.
Oh, that's the thing. I've said this before. I notice I keep saying I've said this before because at this point, I've said everything I've said, going to say before.
Right.
I've made all these points before.
Noted.
There's nothing new. When you get into these late college football game situations, and I have no rooting interest whatsoever, or sometimes even if I do, I root for the kicker. I always want the guy to make the kick, if only because I can't imagine how awful it feels to be the typically little guy,
yep,
who lets an entire football team down because you can't do the job you're expected to do basically 100% of the time.
And I mean, in college, like, it pretty, if it's high stakes, it ruins your season. Like, there's your season's out the door.
It ruins your life.
Yeah, if you're a big time team, like,
it ruins your life.
It ruins your life.
Like, you're forever known by that fan base as the guy who missed that kick, a little kicker who missed that kick.
Remember that, dude?
Like, yep. There was one a few years ago. I can't remember if he was Ohio State's kicker or Michigan's kicker, but I know it was in the Ohio State-Michigan game, and this kicker kept messing up, and I just felt sick for the guy. I never met him. I think I was in the hospital. We had just had our youngest son, and, like, my youngest son's in the NICU.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm feeling sick for this college kicker. I don't even know.
Dude, Randy Bullock for the Bengals on Sunday did the right thing. He acted like he was hurt. Like, he grabbed his calf when he missed.
I'd be doing that all the time.
I'd be grabbing my calf for sure. I just pulled it.
Be acting like I slipped or something.
Yeah. What's wrong with the turf here?
Anyway, good for Steven Gostkowski that he ended last night's game with a successful kick that created a win for the Titans. But, yo, buddy, I've known Steven since he was in college. Don't do that again.
Come on, Steven.
Don't do that again, or you'll have to move from Nashville back to Memphis until you get a call from somebody else. Keith Smith covers the NBA. We got a doubleheader tonight, a Game 1 Eastern Conference Finals Heat-Celtics, Game 7 Nuggets-Clippers. What does he think about both games? I'll ask him next. You're listening. Gary Parrish Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
This is Gary Parrish reminding you that the Smile Center is where I go to the dentist. It's where my entire family goes to the dentist. And the reason it's great is because the folks at the Smile Center take care of you and treat you like family. You don't feel like you're going to the dentist as much as you feel like you're going to see friends. So if you're looking for a new dentist, look no further than the Smile Center. It's Dr. Mady Sadeghi's place at 1941 South Germantown Road. They are open and treating patients, and needless to say, they're taking all of the necessary health precautions to keep you and your family safe. Yes, the Smile Center is currently accepting new patients, and they're offering Zoom teeth whitening specials with free consultations through the end of September. So if you're unhappy with your smile, the color of your teeth just isn't quite right, let the Smile Center fix that for you. Appointments are available right now. You can schedule one by calling 901-309-1333. Again, the address is 1941 South Germantown Road, Suite 101, and the phone number is 901-309-1333. That's the Smile Center on the web, smilecentermemphis.com.
A good friend of mine often says that golfers are the best athletes. This is Sheldon Rosengarten with Mark Spensdorf Realtors. Now, I don't want to embarrass Ed by mentioning his name, but if you stop and think about it, he may be right. Just like the best real estate agent may not be who you think. Like a left tackle in football, a golfer hits it hard off the tee. Like a sprinter, the golfer walks down the fairway to reach his ball. Then like a quarterback who wants to connect with a distant target, the golfer hits the ball again, and in my case, again and again and again. So if you or someone you know is thinking of selling a home, draft your team by interviewing the players. Find out who will block that offensive lineman from knocking your deal down. And find out about the Shell Bucks option play. When interviewing, call or email me to find out why people often say, when you want the job done, call Shell Done. You can reach me at 483-0546 or memphisrelocate.com. That's 483-0546 or memphisrelocate.com. Do it now and don't fumble that ball.
All right, listen up. Ed Bugs,
yeah.
Go up the middle, along the mattresses. Roaches,
yeah.
Do a zone everywhere there's a crack. Ground recluses,
yeah.
You're on surprise defense. Anywhere you can hide. Now let's take that house.
Right.
Pests have a game plan. So should you. Get Allied Termite and Pest on your team. They'll talk with you, understand your full situation, and create a custom, safe, and efficient treatment strategy for your home.
We're up against Allied Termite and Pest? I'm throwing in the towel.
Beat the bugs. Visit AlliedPestControl.com today.
Found the roof leak.
Where?
See those shingles?
What do we do now?
I pity the fool. You need the A-Team.
What?
A-Team Roofing in Collierville, one of only two diamond contractors in the Mid-South. They're a licensed general contractor, but also a licensed insurance adjuster. When it comes to insurance approval, the decision really is in the details.
Well, yeah.
Get your roof done right. Call the A-Team, 901-605-ROOF.
I pity the fool that doesn't check out our online reviews.
You okay?
I'm A-OK.
A-TeamRoofers.com.
Boomer Natural's comfortable, breathable masks offer three layers of protection enhanced with nano-silver technology. Get yours now at BoomerNaturals.com or stop by your local CVS pharmacy.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Stretch my hand.
Life like this is what your life like. Try to live your life right. People really know
a Chicago radio host is under fire for making a sexist comment about ESPN's Maria Taylor on Twitter. I'll tell you what he said and how Maria responded. We're going to do that in the next segment. Jeff Calkins will be here a little after 5 o'clock, but right now, he's a longtime NBA columnist who has written for a variety of publications, including Yahoo Sports. It's Keith Smith. He's making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parish Show Big Interview. Presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. Using food and wine to create memorable times.
So, Keith, we got two NBA playoff games tonight. Let's talk about the second one first. It is Clippers-Nuggets Game 7. How surprised are you that we have a Clippers-Nuggets Game 7?
I'm pretty surprised, and that's probably my fault. I probably shouldn't be. After counting the Nuggets out in the first round when they fell down 3-1, I fell right back in the same trap with the Clippers. I just thought the Clippers had figured some stuff out in their first-round series against Dallas. Then they got it going and got up to the 3-1 lead against Denver, and I thought they were going to finish them off. But here we are, Game 7, and there's nothing better in sports than a Game 7.
Before this series started, the odds makers had determined, because there is no home court advantage in any sort of traditional way, as you don't have to go to Denver if you're the Clippers. So I believe the odds makers had made it where a Clippers sweep was more likely than the Nuggets winning the series in any form. And yet here we are in a Game 7. For people who haven't watched every minute for whatever reason, how did the Nuggets get this to a Game 7?
Timely defense is probably primarily the reason that they have stepped up defensively when they have needed to. And then they're riding Nikola Jokic. They're really getting everything out of him. He's been a really tough matchup for the Clippers. Vita Zubac has done okay against him, but whenever L.A. goes to their bench, whether that be Montrezl Harrell or Jermichael Green against them, Jokic has gone to work. And then their bench has stepped up and given them good quality minutes. Michael Porter Jr. is giving them some scoring, especially late in games after being kind of quiet at other points in games. So they're really kind of getting everything that they need from everybody. The one guy who has been a little bit touch and go has been Jamal Murray, and they're going to need him to have a good game tonight if they're going to pull off the upset.
I saw one media member whom I respect suggest that Doc Rivers might be coaching for his job tonight. Do you think Doc Rivers is coaching for his job tonight?
I don't think he is, but I also don't think that's a crazy suggestion either. There's been some who have posited that Steve Ballmer's not the most patient of guys, and I think he'd be the first one to admit that he's not an overly patient guy. And I think they're looking at it as, hey, we were supposed to be there at the end. We were supposed to be, you know, if not in the finals, really close to the finals and really close to competing for a title. And as the old saying goes, you can't fire all the players and change them all out. So it usually tends to be the coach. But my guess is they'll stick with Doc, but that might be one of those things where, you know, they start out 10-10 next season. You might see a quick change happen.
Talking to Keith Smith. He is on Twitter at Keith Smith NBA. Let's go to the first game tonight. It's game one, Celtics and Heat. The Celtics are only a 1.5 favorite. And so what that suggests is that every game in this series, unless, you know, injuries disrupt it, every game in the series is going to be considered a one-possession game by odds makers. And yet I saw that you think the Celtics are going to win this series in five games. Why do you think the Celtics have so much of an advantage over Miami?
I think there's two things. First of all, I think they're going to be all close games. I don't think the Heat are the kind of team that Boston will be able to roll over unless they can really start turning them over. And the Heat had a propensity at times to get a little sloppy with the ball. So if that happened, then the Celtics could get out and running. But I think when it comes down to it, Miami is overly reliant on Jimmy Butler and Goran Dragic to create a lot of their offense off the dribble. They've got some other stuff that they go to, but their actions that I think Boston can defend, I don't want to say easily, but let's just say well. I think the Celtics have the right personnel to defend those types of things. And then on the other end of the floor, the Heat wings, Jay Crowder, Jimmy Butler, Duncan Robinson, they've all got great size, and they're all pretty strong, but none of them are overly quick at this point in their careers. And that's going to be tough for them to contain guys like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown off the bounce. I'm also pricing in that I think Gordon Hayward is going to get back at some point in this series. It sounds like he's getting really close. He's not going to play tonight. And then that gives another point of attack. And then the last piece is, I don't know who Miami puts on Kemba Walker, but they don't have great options for him. And I know a lot of people say, well, Jimmy Butler will guard him. Jimmy Butler hasn't guarded point guards in years. That's not a thing he does. That's not the guy he is at this point in his career. He's better against the bigger, stronger players than he is against the small, quick guys. So I just don't know. And I think when I, you know, went through it, I added it all up for the things Miami likes to do. I think Boston can handle those fairly well, and I think Miami's going to struggle to guard the Celtics, and that is why I picked Boston in five.
Not to get too into free agency, get too far ahead of ourselves, but I was doing some draft prep today, and Goran Dragic is unrestricted free agent, 34 years old. Do they have to bring him back, considering how important he is to what's happening right now?
Yeah, I think so, because they don't have another real point guard on the roster outside of Kendrick Nunn. And Kendrick Nunn's a guy who's really, you know, after starting all season long, he has completely fallen almost out of the rotation. He occasionally gets in games here and there in the playoffs, but he's not really a big part of their rotation. I think what you're going to see Miami do, because clearly they're one of the teams that wants to put themselves in position to go star chasing in the summer of 2021, I think you're going to see Goran Dragic get a big one-year contract. You know, it might be $20-25 million, and then in the next year he might sign something like 2-3 years for, you know, a total of $10 million or something, maybe even lower than that, where you really, when you look at it on its face, it's more like a 3 or 4 year contract. He's just getting it broken up into two, because that's the Heat rewarding him, keeping a valuable player, and then they'll be able to still keep their flexibility into the future. It's kind of like what the Philadelphia 76ers did with J.J. Redick a couple years back as they were coming to prominence.
Talking to Keith Smith, he is on Twitter at Keith Smith NBA. Billy Donovan is currently unemployed after agreeing to part ways with Oklahoma City, and it really does seem on some level like it was mostly his decision. Do you think Billy Donovan is coaching in the NBA next season?
I think so. There's a couple teams that really like him. It's interesting. The Chicago Bulls have an interest there. I think they see him as somebody who could maybe come in and help them get over the hump and get back into playoff contention. He's a guy that the Philadelphia 76ers like. I think the Indiana Pacers also have some level of interest there as well. A little bit of the challenge is everybody's kind of waiting to see what happens with a guy like Ty Lue. There's been some talk that, you know, if Doc Rivers gets let go by the Clippers, a bunch of teams would want to jump on him right away. So I think you're seeing things pause just a little bit right now to see exactly what happens with some of these other guys out there. But I do think there's going to be a job for Billy Donovan in the NBA somewhere next season.
You bring up Ty Lue. It's interesting to me. He's a 43-year-old former coach of a world champion, and yet seems to struggle to find his next job. Is it because people just assume anybody could win a title with LeBron James and you don't get credit for that, or something else?
There's a little bit of that. There's a little bit of he won a title by stepping in for David Blatt when David Blatt was the guy who really built that system and got them all there. But I think there's also a piece for Ty Lue where he is being very I don't want to say picky, but he's being very smart and very, taking his time, picking what that next job is going to be, because I don't think he wants to run right into a rebuilding team or anything like that and then have it be harder if that doesn't go well to get that next job after that. We see that all the time, unfortunately, with these NBA coaches. It's a lot of times you know, unless you've had a track record of success over a number of years, then it seems like you can fail as often as you want, and they'll just keep bringing you in. But if you fail one time as a younger coach, it seems to be a lot harder. So I think he's just being really conscious of, you know, well, where is it I want to go next? I want to make sure that we're set up sustainable with the right pieces to be successful for a number of years.
Mike D'Antoni recently announced that he is done in Houston. Today, the Rockets owner certainly suggested that Daryl Morey is safe. Should he be safe?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I lean towards yes. I think, you know, what he's done there is he's put a team that is, I know it ended, you know, poorly this season, and there's fans there are frustrated and others are, you know, this team has never even made the finals. But, you know, making the finals is not an easy thing to do, especially when the vast majority of your time you had to contend with going up against the Warriors every single year. And I think, you know, what Daryl Morey has been able to do is he's put a team together that was, you know, really competitive. They were right there with Golden State. I think they want to bridge too far last offseason by trading for Russell Westbrook. I think that was one of those where, hey, this looks good on paper. It'll make James Harden happier. You know, we'll really be hard to guard. I give them a lot of credit for kind of doubling down in season and saying, hey, if Mike D'Antoni wants to play small and quick, we're going to go small and we'll play quick. I don't think they played quick enough. I think that was part of their undoing against the Lakers. I think they still played a little too slow despite being small, but I, you know, I give them credit for trying. The challenge is now is I think if you're Tillman Fertitta, part of what you're looking at there is, you know, maybe I got to let this guy, you know, he made this bed. I got to let him lie in it for a little bit, let him be the one to dig us out of a mess before I'm paying him and somebody else to come in and clean this up.
Wrapping up here with Keith Smith. He's on Twitter at Keith Smith NBA. Last thing before I let you go, if you had to pick the 2019-20 world champion right now, based on what you've watched in the bubble, who's your pick?
You know, I picked the Clippers before the start of the season. Before the playoffs, I switched it to the Bucks because I thought they were going to get it figured out. So I guess that says I should probably stay with the Clippers. But I've picked against LeBron James too many times and looked stupid doing it so many times. And so I'm going to lean there just slightly. But of any of the five teams that are left, you wouldn't have to get too deep into convincing me that any of the five can win. I think all five are really good quality teams that all have a really good chance at bringing home a title. But I would lean slightly towards the Lakers just because it's LeBron. We know he's been there, done that. But if the Clippers win tonight, I might be right back on them.
It is Keith Smith, longtime NBA reporter on Twitter, at Keith Smith NBA, at Keith Smith NBA. Thanks so much, man. You're terrific as always. I appreciate your time.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. I'll stay safe. You and yours.
All right. You too. Take care. Keith Smith here on 92.9 FM ESPN. I think what he said there at the end is right, and I don't know that I can think of any other year where that would be true. I could really see there's five teams still alive: Miami, Boston, Denver, Clippers, Lakers. And I could reasonably see any of those winning this championship.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I mean, I think if you told me, okay, eliminate one, who's most likely to not win it?
Mm-hmm.
Denver, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a 7.5-point favorite tonight.
Look at what they've been doing.
But if you can get by the Clippers, then you can get by the Lakers.
Yeah.
So, and then the Heat-Celtics, I mean, that's – see, this is something that you almost – I mean, I don't think you ever get it in the playoffs because of the lack of home court advantage right now. Usually Heat-Celtics, like this series, and I may be slightly off of the numbers, but you'll get the point. If we're getting ready to do Heat-Celtics Eastern Conference Finals, like these are two very comparable teams.
Mm-hmm.
Boston would probably be something like a 4 or 5 point favorite tonight at home.
Yep.
And then a 4 or 5 point favorite in game two. And then they go to Miami, and Miami would be like a 2 or 3 point favorite in Miami. It would go back and forth, back and forth. Every game they play, unless a significant injury changes things, every game they play is going to be 1 point spread, 1.5. Tonight is Boston minus 1.5. Mm. So in game two, in theory, Boston minus 1.5. Game three, Boston minus 1.5. Like, these are totally coin flip games,
right?
Because it's not like, hey, we're Boston, we got the first two at home, and then we got to go to Miami, now we'll be an underdog. Like, there's no going anywhere. You're lining up on what amounts to a neutral court, you know, for as long as this series lasts. And so either one of them could win that, and then either one of them could win the finals. And I don't think I would have said that about the Heat pre-bubble, but the Heat in the bubble? They look the part, man.
They do.
And they seem to be playing with a lot of confidence. They like each other. They seem to, like, genuinely like each other. Like, Jimmy Butler has finally found the team where he can be the clear best player, the clear leader, and everybody follows him. He doesn't seem to irritate his teammates the way he did in Philadelphia, the way he did in Minnesota. Right now, he's driving his teammates, motivating his teammates, probably with the same behavior. But in Philadelphia, it didn't work. In Minnesota, it didn't work. I guess in Chicago, it didn't work perfectly. But it seems to be working here. He has found himself in the perfect situation. Strong front office, strong head coach, and then a team filled with guys who are motivated by him and follow him. It's really a perfect situation. And I don't want to say all credit goes to Pat Riley, but man, do you know how hard it is? He's got a chance to do this year, to win a championship with a third different, same franchise, third different best player. You know how hard that is to do?
Yeah.
Wins one with Dwayne Wade, wins a couple with LeBron. Dwayne Wade's his best player in that first title.
Mm-hmm.
Then LeBron's his best player in those other two titles. And now Jimmy Butler's his best player.
Yeah, and I think going forward, like, regardless of what happens with Jimmy Butler, which, I mean, he'll probably be on that team for a while, but, like, it seems like that they've got that formula down so well that, like, they're not going to have a problem getting another great free agent to come there eventually.
Well, that's the other thing. Like, when you talk about the Bucks being close but not quite there, nobody pretends that you're going to get somebody to go to Milwaukee
no.
to play with Giannis.
No, I mean, they're hoping for Chris Paul, right?
Well, you could maybe make a deal, but what's that going to look like?
Sure.
There's a report out today that the Knicks are trying to make a deal for Chris Paul as well, which I don't know if that's smart or dumb. It seems dumb just because
it's the Knicks.
If you're
him, I wouldn't do that, yeah.
Well, it won't be up to him, you know, if he gets traded.
I know.
But you know
how these players are.
Yeah. but like that, you know, on one hand, you could go be the king of New York if you get that franchise back to respectability.
It's true.
On the other hand, you probably will just lose a lot, and that's not fun.
Yeah.
Although, in fairness, that is what people thought was going to happen.
They were going to be terrible
in Oklahoma City, and Chris Paul changed that franchise. So we'll see. But nobody pretends, well, you know, Milwaukee will just go lure somebody to come play with Giannis. The conversations are mostly like, where's Giannis going to go to team with somebody else?
Right.
Golden State, you know, LA, whatever. With Miami, it's always Miami. You can get people to go there. Pat Riley. Strong organization, history of championships, and again, has a realistic chance right now to win a third different championship with different best players every time. Like, totally, like, sometimes you win, like, Steve Kerr's got multiple championships, all with the same, for the most part, mm-hmm. same guys. I mean, it's basically the same guys. You add KD, take them away, but it's basically the same guys. Pat Riley, it's Dwayne Wade and Shaq. Then it's LeBron, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh. and now it's Jimmy Butler and Goran Dragic? And obviously this would be the most unlikely, but as we sit here right now, they've at least got a chance. A Chicago radio host made a sexist comment about ESPN's Maria Taylor last night. She took a shot back. We'll get into that story next. Listen to Gary Parrish Show, 92.9 FM. ESPN.
Hey, it's Key. Coming up Wednesday, my Lakers finally have a Western Conference final opponent. We'll figure out how we can beat them. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Wednesday.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Weekday mornings, 5 a.m. till 9 a.m. Live on 92.9 FM ESPN. No other station has the NFL's Tennessee Titans, the SEC, Radio.com insiders all over the country, and Memphis and the Mid-South's largest group of local insiders. 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hey, it's Brad Carson for my friends at Old Dominic, a proud hometown partner of our Memphis Tigers, located in the heart of downtown Memphis with a 150-year-old story that's been revived and ready to be shared. And you can get all the info at olddominic.com on the one-of-a-kind spirits made right here in the Bluff City. Ask your favorite spirit shop where you can find Old Dominic products, enjoy them during the game. And you can also follow Old Dominic Distillery on Facebook and Instagram for more news and info, like the brand-new Hewling Station whiskey there. It hits the shelves just in time for football season and cooler weather. These small-batch whiskeys are perfect for the seasoned whiskey drinker, whiskey newcomers will love them too. You can enjoy them neat over ice or in an old-fashioned whiskey cocktail. Set the bar with Hewling Station from Old Dominic this football season. Plus, try Old Dominic's Memphis Vodka, the Formula Number 10 gin, and their Memphis Toddy, which is perfect for football weather. Just like the Tigers, Old Dominic spirits are 100% pure Memphis. That's Old Dominic Distillery and Old Dominic spirits, 100% pure Memphis. Share a sip from your hometown brand this football season, and go Tigers go. Old Dominic encourages all fans to share a sip responsibly.
Hey, it's Eric Hasseltine from the Memphis Grizzlies here to tell you about the best place to get a pre-owned vehicle in the entire Mid-South, and that is DeSoto Auto Sales. You can visit them on the web at DeSotoAutoSales.com or simply head on over to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch. Why DeSoto Auto Sales, you say? Well, their prices are fantastic. They've got over 250 cars on the lot, and they range in price from $8,000 to $30,000. Most of these cars are still under their factory warranty, so you're getting a great vehicle. They've been inspected 5 times before they hit the lot. And it's their selection. The lot is always changing. They're trying to get them out of there at the best price possible for their customers so they can clear the lot for more vehicles to come. Trucks, vans, sedans, SUVs, and they can finance you on the spot. They've got financing managers to explain all of your options. It's all there at DeSoto Auto Sales. You can see the entire selection at DeSotoAutoSales.com. Get a great car at a great price. What are you waiting for? Go to DeSotoAutoSales.com or hop on down to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch and visit DeSoto Auto Sales today.
The new razor from Harry's is not the same. In the past, guys have been overcharged for razors. Meanwhile, Harry's just came out with their sharpest blades ever, and they're not raising prices, not even a little. Their new blades still cost as little as $2 each, and value isn't the only thing that makes Harry's unique. Some shaving companies add bells and whistles to their razors. Harry's values simple, clean design. Some shaving companies outsource blade manufacturing. Harry's owns a century-old German blade factory. Some shaving companies encourage guys to be the best. Harry's embraces guys for who they are. Put simply, Harry's is not the same. And you can find Harry's almost everywhere you shop. Just head to the grooming aisle in stores near you. Or you can go online and get a Harry's starter set for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 5520 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 5520. Harry's. Not the same.
In a time when preventive care is more important than ever, routine oral and eye checkups could save your life. That's why Delta Dental of Tennessee offers dental and vision plans starting at less than $1 a day. For example, our large network of dentists can detect 120 signs and symptoms of diseases before they're life-threatening. Keep your health care costs low and your health at an all-time high with the power of preventive dental and vision plans from Delta Dental of Tennessee. Choose your health first. Choose Delta Dental.
Hey, listeners, it's Chris Murphy with Inman Murphy Termite and Pest Control. Once again, here to welcome you to exceptional service. I'd like to show you why your friends and neighbors think we're a five-star company. Give us a call today. We can take care of everything from termites, mosquitoes, ants, whatever bothers you, we've got it. Give us a call today at 388-0852. That's 388-0852. And we also specialize in bed bugs. Did I mention bed bugs? Give us a call or check us out on the web at inman-murphy.com.
So are you the type of guy that wants to look put together but doesn't want to spend hours shopping? I hear you.
This is why there's Stitch Fix, your personal styling service that delivers hand-picked clothes right to you. Stitch Fix is simple and convenient. Sign up in just a few minutes. Try new styles in the comfort of your own home, and there's no subscription required ever. So, isn't it time to refresh your look? Get started today at stitchfix.com. Stitch Fix, personal styling for everybody.
This is time that matters. A window of time to help protect the ones you love. Your preteen benefits from staying up to date with their well visits. This is your window of protection. Schedule their well visit now. Brought to you by Merck.
Ask any player in the country, and they'll tell you the best thing about Cardinals baseball is playing in front of a packed stadium. And while this year is a little, okay, a lot different, you're still invited to come enjoy the game and explore other places around St. Louis while you're at it. Check into your hotel home base and check out Six Flags, Topgolf, the Gateway Arch, and more. Baseball is back, so let's re-explore St. Louis responsibly. Wear masks, stay 6 feet apart, and wash your hands. Book your trip today at ExploreSt.Louis.com.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. Godzilla, this Tokyo and I'm Godzilla. Playing blackjack versus death gun on the card dealer. Just bought a demon, I'm screaming about the card dealer. Last temptation of Mike, but I'm a card ticker.
Week one is in the books. That means we got a whole bunch of weeks left. Starting with week two, and there's plenty of time to get in on the action, and there's no better place to do it than at DraftKings, because that's the leader in one-day fantasy sports. And to add to this week's excitement, DraftKings has millions of dollars in total prizes that are up for grabs right now. And if you haven't tried DraftKings yet, what you want to do is head to the App Store, because you don't want to miss the opportunities this week. Here's the deal. It's simple. All you do is pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. You can have a shot at millions of dollars in prizes. And understand, DraftKings has paid out billions of dollars to winners since 2012, so they know a thing or two about cold hard cash. Here's what you need to do. Download the DraftKings app right now. Use code WMFS. That's code WMFS, because for a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Don't miss out on the week two action. Enter code WMFS to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. That's code WMFS only at DraftKings. A minimum $5 deposit is required. Other terms and conditions and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Jeff Calkins is going to join me a little after 5 o'clock, but right now I got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's four notable stories at 4:44. Story number one.
So Dan McNeil is a longtime Chicago radio host, and he finds himself in the middle of a controversy today because he took a picture of Maria Taylor last night as she was working on the Monday Night Football doubleheader, and he tweeted, "Is this an NFL sideline reporter or a host for the AVN Annual Awards presentation?" The AVN Awards, if you're unfamiliar, are awards for adult film stars. Obviously, out of bounds. I mean, it's just Maria Taylor is, I'm looking at the picture now, and I don't even see what he sees. I mean, she just looks like a normal person. She looks like a normal person. Like, this is the way people dress.
Yeah.
Even if you do, though, reach the conclusion that he reached, that this is what he was saying, she's dressed like a porn star. That's what he was saying.
Right.
Even if you have that thought in your head, like, you're watching TV, you're a public figure, you have a real job, and you think Maria Taylor looks like a porn star, how do you think that's going to go well for you if you tweet that?
Yeah.
In any time, but especially in the year 2020.
And I saw people commenting that, like, have listened to his show or know about his show and said that the guy's, like, that's kind of like his shtick, like the whole shock jock thing. But, like, come on, dude.
Like,
it's 2020, man.
You can't talk about people that way. I mean, maybe if you saw me on TV as a side reporter and you wanted to make a comment about my appearance, you could probably get away with that.
But an old white man talking about a young black woman in that way, saying she looks like a porn star, that's not going to go well for you.
You also look like a huge creep.
You look like a jerk. It's like, first of all, it's not funny.
No.
Like, it's not even like, well, I might take some heat, but I'm going to get this joke off because it's really funny. Like, there are some jokes that are genuinely funny, but you can't say them. This ain't even that. There's nothing funny about what the guy says. It's a tweet that will do nothing but cause you problems. And it's wild to me how often I see people just walk into it. Just walk into, they'd walk right into their own controversy. Mm-hmm. And there's some people who just do it all the time. Doug Gottlieb is constantly walking into Twitter controversies. Just volunteer. Like, I'll see the tweet and I'll go, oh, wow, well, this is going to be the next one that he has to apologize for.
Uh-huh.
Here's one he's going to have to pay. He'll have to apologize.
Yep.
He will either have to apologize or he'll just have to ignore the criticism because the criticism is coming. Like, Doug does it, it feels like every 3 days. This guy, Dan McNeil, I never knew him, but he walked into one last night. And then late last night, after Maria was done with work, she tweeted the following. Well, Danny Dearest, if you would like to continue making sexist comments about me, please bring your attitude with you to NBA Countdown doubleheader I'll be hosting tomorrow night. And hey, ladies, remember, you can wear whatever you feel confident in. And so, obviously, that's been retweeted 50 bazillion times. A young woman standing up for herself against an old white sexist man. And I will say the other thing about Maria Taylor, and I've met her a few times. I don't really know her, but I know a lot of people who know her well and who work with her. And not everybody who works at ESPN is well-liked by all their colleagues. I could give you the names if you wanted to. I say that to say this. Maria Taylor is adored at ESPN. Everybody loves her. Mm. She's not only talented and gifted and really good at her job, she seems to be, like, that's all I know, is that everybody who knows her swears by her, like, pushes her for bigger opportunities, roots for her, just adores her. So to watch her become the target of some idiot was a little strange, but I guess that's social media for you.
Story number two.
Corey Evans, a Rivals recruiting analyst, is leaving Rivals.com to join the Oklahoma City Thunder. He's going to be a scout for the Thunder.
Yeah, this is like the second or third of these, right, recently.
Well, you've got Evan Daniels leaving to become an agent.
An agent, yeah.
Leaving the recruiting world to become an agent. Several years ago, Dave Tellup left the recruiting world to work in the Spurs organization. He still works in the Spurs organization. So it appears that being a successful national recruiting analyst can be like a good trampoline job, because when you have that job, if you're good at it, it basically requires you to do two things, and two things only. Evaluate prospects intelligently and keep in touch with coaches nonstop. And so for Evans' purposes, like becoming a coach's agent becomes a pretty obvious career possibility, because he knows everybody, because he's had his job. Like, I reached a point where my job doesn't require me to keep in touch with everybody every day. I'm not really in the information business anymore. I am now just paid to give my opinion on stuff, whether it's on television, podcast, radio, in a column. But mm-hmm. when you're a recruiting analyst, like, your job is to get, hey, who's going where?
Right.
Who's leading? Why are they leading? So you have to keep in touch with people nonstop. So it makes perfect sense for Evan to transition from recruiting analyst to coach's agent. And then if you're an NBA franchise, and not all of these recruiting analysts are good, by the way. Some of them just, like, it's their job, but they're not actually good at it. But the ones who are, Dave Tellup was, and I believe Corey Evans is, like, if you can recognize the value in that as an NBA franchise, it makes a lot of sense to try to hire these guys, because they will not only have information on all the prospects you might be selecting in upcoming years, but they know all of the grassroots coaches. So going forward forever, if you ever need them, hey, reach out to the guy who runs the AAU program out of Detroit, and I need you to get everything you can find out about this prospect from Detroit. Like, you've already got those relationships built up. So makes a lot of sense if you're Oklahoma City, because Corey is respected in those recruiting circles. And now him working as hard as he's worked to get in this position has clearly paid off. He is making a move to be a scout for an NBA franchise. He's going to be with the Oklahoma City Thunder.
story number three.
Arkansas State announced earlier today that they are going to have to postpone their next game because of an COVID-19 outbreak within the program. And they were clear in the announcement that it's not like they've got 50 players in quarantine, but you have to be able to assemble a full two-deep depth chart at every position, and they cannot, at a certain position, assemble a full two-deep depth chart because that position was hit hard. And it's the thing that makes football very complicated with this virus is that your offensive linemen are together all the time. And if one of them gets it, they're probably going to run right through the entire offensive line, and you got a problem. And so now Arkansas State's got a problem. Obviously, Arkansas State and Memphis played 10 days ago, and now both programs have had to subsequently cancel or postpone games. There's no evidence right now that they're tied to each other, like that one spread the virus to the other or they spread it back and forth. But it's hard to get away from the fact that these two teams played each other 10 days ago, and now both of them have had to, again, postpone games at the very least.
Story number four.
The city of Louisville reached an agreement today to pay Breonna Taylor's family $12 million to settle a wrongful death lawsuit. It is the biggest amount of money that the city has ever paid to settle a wrongful death lawsuit. And so that's step one in this process. And now, obviously, the next step is whether any officer is going to be charged in her death.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.